Hi, Kristen.
Hi, Natalie.
How are you?
I'm just sitting here basking in how beautiful you are.
Oh, it's a good place to be.
I just like beauty.
I know you do. Maybe that's why we're such good friends.
That's true.
Friends, welcome to the Create Podcast. We are Natalie Roy and Kristen Henge, and we are here on the Upper West Side together. We have just had an incredible day.
We've had a day.
We have had a day of creating, working on a beautiful piece of theater that was performed today. Our dear friend's one-woman show that Kristen directed and I was assisting with. We just had the most beautiful day, mm-hmm. and we were really inspired by the day we had, by the art that we got to create, by the questions and things that it brought up inside of us. And it's so aligned with, as those of you who have been listening to the podcast know, that we've been doing audience requests for the last several weeks. And I had a dear friend of mine from my hometown, which is awesome, back home in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada. And she reached out to say she listens to our podcast and she had a request for us. So first of all, I want to say to our listener and any other listeners from my hometown, I'm so grateful and I'm so honored. It just feels awesome to know that people from my hometown are enjoying and listening to this offering that we create.
I want to say, like, what up, Canada?
What up, Canada? And we're so excited to answer your question as kind of the finale of our audience request series that we've done. Although, if you are in our audience and you have additional requests for us, or you have more things that you want us to talk about, it's kind of our favorite thing. So don't be shy. Come to our Create Community Facebook page, c.r.e.a.t.e community, and send us your questions, or you can send us an email at createwksp@gmail.com. And we would just love to hear from you, hear what you love about the podcast, hear what you'd like to see more of. But for tonight, we wanted to dive into this question, and this was one of our favorites.
Give it.
So, my friend from Canada said, Natalie, I know you and Kristen are looking for topics for your podcast, and I long to hear you guys talk more about following your pleasure. I know it's a theme you weave into most of your talks, and I would love to hear a full podcast dedicated to following your pleasure. For those of us who have lived a life doing, quote, the right thing and fulfilling others' expectations of us, it is so exciting to even think about following pleasure, tapping into what really turns us on, what excites us, and what we're drawn to. Tell me more, because it's fascinating to me and so pleasurable to hear about. And so here we go.
Tell me more, tell me more. Oh, okay.
I mean,
you don't have to ask me twice to talk about pleasure.
Don't threaten us with a good time.
May this be the most fun podcast we've ever done. You know, Natalie and I were talking earlier today about, in life, we got taught that to be happy, we had to, like, check off all these boxes.
Right.
Like, there were all these things we had to accomplish in order to get to that place where, like, oh, now I'm fulfilled, now I'm satisfied, now I got it. And what that does is it creates stress and pressure and inner resistance and this feeling of having to do things that actually keeps us out of being able to be on our path.
Right. It definitely keeps us out of the present moment, because in the present moment, we're always in the energy of striving or trying to get somewhere or trying to fix something or trying to be better versions of ourselves or trying to make more money or, you know, get our kids to a certain place where we don't have to worry about them anymore, or get a certain amount of money in the bank account where we can retire. And the other thing it does beyond keeping us out of the present moment is we lose the ability to tune into our own inner compass to actually ask the question, whose path am I following? Am I following my own authentic path? Is what I'm even striving for what I want or what I think I'm supposed to do and supposed to have? So when our listener said, you know, just the idea of following my own pleasure outside of what's expected of me or doing the right thing, I think that that's a really astute question, because many of us don't even know what turns us on, because we've spent so much of our lives doing what we think we're supposed to do, that then when something feels good, we don't know if it feels good to us or if it feels good to the fulfillment of an expectation that we were supposed to be.
Right, and so many of us were taught, if it feels good, it's probably bad.
Right.
Like, it's probably off limits. Those right. things that feel good, it's like, no, you have to do all those things that feel like deprivation in order to feel fulfilled. But I've been reading a lot of Joseph Campbell lately, and he has this great passage he wrote where he says, your path has never been taken by anyone else in the entire world because it's your path. So no one has ever gone there before. So there is no road to where you're meant to go.
Right.
So how do you know where to go? Well, you have this beautiful inner compass. And that tells you where to go. And it's communicating to you moment by moment by communicating with your heart.
Right.
Right? The thing that actually turns your heart on shows you where your path is. It's the compass. But if you're not in communication with your heart, if you're not listening to it, you get turned off course.
Exactly. And it's really interesting for those of you that might have listened to the podcast that we dropped last week. We talked about this kind of three-step process. And the first step in the process was listening to your own inner voice. Now, we gave some ideas and tidbits on how you tune into that inner voice. This is a way we can enter into this conversation by going a little deeper into that. Mm-hmm. So I love the Eastern philosophies, the Eastern traditions. I find it's a really ancient but somehow very simplistic way for me to understand what we are and how we operate. And a lot of what I feel the Eastern traditions have taught me is how to live a life of less suffering.
Mm.
And so I just feel like so many of us are on this rat race mentality where, like you said, we're living in a deprived state so that one day in the future we can have some kind of reward. And we see this all the time with withholding money from ourselves, withholding pleasure from ourselves, withholding food from ourselves. You know, we save that pastry for a special occasion. You know, it's not something we can have all the time. It feels like indulgence. Mm-hmm. So we have these words that feel like, oh, those are bad things or indulgent things or special things. And so you can't possibly live in that mentality. It's something you have to earn. Now, the yogis actually speak about what we are in essence in a totally different way that has nothing to do with deprivation. The yogis speak about us as an energy that is meant to be fully alive, that we are meant to be fully present to, and that really everything that is happening in form in the outer world, even in our bodies, is only ever designed to give us information about what we are not, so we can more acutely tune into what we actually are. So there's a really cool model of energetic anatomy that the yogis talk about. Now, some of you may have heard of energetic anatomy before in terms of the chakra system. That's kind of the more famous one, the more known one in the Western world. And we always say with the chakras, you know, they're these spinning balls of energy or these wheels that are inside your body that hold energy in different ways for you. It's not like if I sliced Kristen open right now, I would say, ooh, there's Kristen's heart chakra. It's an energy, right? So it's different than slicing Kristen open and saying, there's your lung and there's your heart.
I feel like if you sliced me open, there would just be glitter.
I literally think if I did slice you open, it would just like be a burst of glitter in the air. That is exactly what I think. Some unicorns would run around. So in this one model of energetic anatomy, it's called the koshas or the mayas or the kosha mayas or the maya koshas. People have different ways of thinking about it. But basically it says that we are both a human being, and we are an energy, a spirit, a life force. So some people may call it the soul or consciousness or the seat of the soul. And the yogis call it Purusha. And some of you have heard us use this word before. Purusha is your inner light, the thing inside of you that can't die, that can't change, that is timeless, that when you were 2 years old, 10 years old, 20 years old, there's this essence, this energy inside of you that has never changed, that is watching you in this human costume go through the whole thing. Now, the way the yogis break down the koshas is saying that the original place is this soul, and that's what we all are. But when we incarnate onto this earth, we end up having these other layers, and it's almost like an onion that has many layers or a tree that has many rings in the tree. So the innermost essence of what we are is this soul layer, and the reason we incarnate is to understand ourselves as this soul layer, but we can, in this form, only understand ourselves as that through the contrast of also being in form, in a body, and these other layers. But that the point of Prakriti, or these outer layers, or the outer world, or our relationships, or anything, is always to reveal to us the Purusha that we really are. But so many of us are busy getting attached to the form and thinking, if I just move the form around enough, I'll find bliss, I'll find pleasure, I'll find happiness. What the yogis say is, your joy, your bliss, your happiness is actually when you connect to yourself in your essence, when you know yourself as you really are. And everything else is just a pathway to help you get there. So if we think about Purusha being the innermost layer of what we are, then we have all of these layers that go out from that place. And it goes from gross to subtle. So if we start from the outermost layer of what we are, that is our physical body. We all know this. And it's kind of interesting because even in anatomy, if you notice, parts of your body that are further away from the center of yourself move faster than the places that are the center. So you can move your fingers faster than you can move your shoulder, because your shoulder is closer to the center of your core. So it's almost like in life, there's all these things always happening on the outside that look fast and crazy and overwhelming and overstimulating. And we actually spend most of our time focusing on this kind of form. So if we think about our physical body, we can also think of things about money, home, security, safety. These are all things that kind of relate to this most outer kosha. And it's always moving and it's always changing. It changes the fastest. It's like your fingertips moving. So we don't want to attach too much to that because it's the furthest from what we really are, but it is also the thing that can give us sometimes the most information about what we are not. Now, as you move deeper, you move into your physiological layers, which is more about your breath, more about your blood. So these things don't move, it moves in a more subtle way. You have to tune in a little bit more to become aware of your heartbeat than you do with your fingers moving, for example. But it's still not really who you are. It's still part of this form human being costume that you've put on. Then as you move deeper, you have your mental and your emotional layer. So this is fascinating because you think of your mind racing, your mind's always moving, your mind's always going from thought to thought. If you try to get still for a moment, the yogis say, you know, even if you can still your thoughts for 3 seconds, it's a huge accomplishment because we have so many thoughts.
You're doing good.
Right? And your emotions, again, always changing, energy and motion. It's always this thing that's going. You could be happy 1 minute and sad the next. Then as you move even deeper, we have this layer that is our values and our preferences. And again, these are things that are not us. These are things that our human form has put on like a costume. And many of our values and preferences feel like us. Even our opinions, they feel like us. But your spirit, your soul, doesn't need to have an opinion because it doesn't see any separation. It doesn't see one thing is good, one thing is bad, one thing is better, one thing is worse. As you move even deeper, the final layer that is kind of the kosha, the layer that lays against your soul, if you were going to think about it literally, like an onion that you're peeling the layers to get to the center, the very last human layer is called the Ananda, or the bliss body. And so the reason that we love to talk about desire and bliss and pleasure as being a gateway into the life we are meant to live is because it is the thing that is hugging, that is resting upon, that is kissing your soul. It is the thing that knows the most intimately what your soul came here to express, what your soul came here to do. Your body knows the least. Your mind knows not as much. But your bliss, your pleasure, your joy, that is the closest in your human costume you can possibly get to the true, authentic expression and nature of your soul. So when we talk about going inside, or what's your inner voice say, or what's your authentic life, or what is your purpose on this planet, or why are you here, you will be able to get the most clear and accurate information from your pleasure than from anything else in the world. And many of us are making the mistake of going from the outside in. The amount of money I have in my bank account deserves my worth. My weight determines my worth. The amount of jobs I book determines my worth. And so what we want to say is, number one, your worth does not need to be determined, because your worth is something that has nothing to do with this human costume and nothing to do with any of those things. But we want to start looking inside and saying, how can you live from a place that is going from the inside out? And if you are doing that, then bliss and pleasure and joy have to be the first. That's the first stop on the road trip. And then if you start from that place and you move outwards, if you're coming from a place of your bliss, from open-heartedness, and then from that place you say, what's my value or what's my preference here? It's going to be very different than if you accessed it from the body or the mind inward. If you start from bliss and ask yourself what you value, what's important to you, how you want to spend your time, then those values and preferences based on your bliss and pleasure inform your emotions. Then those emotions inform your mental constructs. Then those mental constructs inform your body. Then your body creates and manifests in the world. Then we're having a different conversation.
Well, I think so often, when you get that feeling, we all know when we're living our right life. We all have that feeling, and we can have it in moments. We can go, oh, I remember this time I was doing this thing and I just felt time stop. I was in my pleasure, I was in my bliss, and that, whether it was like that relationship, that project I was doing, that time in my life, I was just in the center. And we all have times where we're like, ain't happy, ain't going right. Everything feels blocked, And so we have this ability to know when we've been inside that bliss center and when we've been outside of it. And where I think the disconnect comes from is often when we feel ourselves outside of it, we try to use our mind to try to figure out how to get back into it. So our mind, which is coming from those like outer layers, we'll try to go back to the past and think, what has worked in the past and let me go back there? Or what do I think might work in the future and let me go there? But what spirit is always telling us is right here, right now, I'm whispering to you. I'm like Jiminy Cricket on your shoulder saying, like, right now I have the most delicious thing for you. And if you just follow this moment of feeling good. I always love when Wayne Dyer would say, when you're feeling good, you're feeling God. But it's just a step of going, right now, how can I open to heaven being available here in this moment? And when we can do that, it puts us in that bliss center, in that heart-centered place of going, right now I can acknowledge what is working here. Right now I can acknowledge what feels good in this moment. Right now, I can see what is the next right step. As opposed to trying to strategize 10,000 steps in the future.
Right.
There are so many clients I have. I feel like whether I'm doing it with a client or I'm doing it with a project, I feel like often my number one job is managing other people's neuroses. And it's true. I feel like I often get paid just to tell people everything's okay.
Right. You got this.
Everything's working out. Everything's okay. Because it's actually the truth of the universe, right? If we're growing something, whether it's a project or a writing, a screenplay, it wouldn't be here if there wasn't a reason for it. So we have to trust that anything that is being created, and that includes relationships, that includes children, that includes a new business, whatever is the forward momentum that spirit is bringing into form is coming from a place of energy. And that energy knows what it's doing. The energy has that information, and that energy follows the path of least resistance. That energy is the energy of the divine coming into manifestation, and that energy is going to follow the path of feeling good, right? It's going to follow the path of least resistance. It's going to flow. That is the way that nature goes.
Yes.
Nature flows. The only thing that we need to do is stay with that flow. And flow, you know, it goes downstream, right? So if we're in any situation, we go, what is this asking for? And that's often like, what would feel exciting?
Yeah.
What would feel good? What would feel like new energy, birth, excitement, growth? And take that step. As opposed to try to race ahead and try to, you know, we often talk about how we are protecting ourselves from disaster. And that's when we're in the mental form. And that's when we've lost this present moment. We have lost this moment. If we can, you know, we're so many of us are children of trauma. And that's how we survived, was trying to protect ourselves from disaster. So if we, part of the healing process of life is to come back to, I choose to live in trust. I choose to live that there is something happening here that is for me. I don't need to make it happen. There is the energy of all of life moving through this moment, moving through me. Think of ourselves as surfers. We're surfers on a wave, and that wave knows where it's going. We just want to let go of resistance so we can go with the wave.
Mm.
Pleasure, like the pleasure allows us to go with the wave.
Mm-hmm.
The pleasure allows us to let go of resistance. We were talking earlier this week about a great artist, like a great actor or actress, is the one that's relaxed.
Yes.
Right? If you're a relaxed actor or actress, the emotion can come through you. If you're a relaxed singer, your natural voice can come through you. If I'm a relaxed director, I can be there in the moment and see what the scene wants. If I have a preconceived idea of how I think it needs to go, I'm going to miss it.
Right.
Oh, Kelly Devine and I had this great, great thing that happened this week. You know, I'm directing Clueless. Kelly Devine is my brilliant choreographer. And we had two ideas for the opening of Act 2. One was this blown out fantasy musical number. And one was this like moment that was written that was more reality based. And we kind of just like held both. And we said, well, maybe we'll do a fantasy moment and then we'll break and then we'll go into the reality. And then she just started choreographing the fantasy. And she came out to me and she goes, Kristen, what if the reality moment starts to happen while the fantasy is still going on? And I was like, you don't have to say anymore. I'm in. I'm in. And it was not planned. It was she followed what felt good, and that feeling good led her to a new moment. And I said yes to it. And then we just followed what felt good in the moment. And literally, I was just like, what's my favorite number in the whole show?
Right.
And it did not come from our pre-planned mind. It came from allowing something new to be birthed.
Well, it reminds me of when you said about the Joseph Campbell quote, your life has never been lived before.
Mm-hmm.
Our minds are a computer.
Yes.
And it's a computer program that's designed to keep us safe from attack. So the mind is not going to tell you the path of pleasure or joy or trust, because that's always going to feel unsafe to the mind. What the mind will suggest you do is the opposite of doing what feels good. It'll tell you to do what feels safe. You know, it's really interesting because we were working on this show that we mentioned today, and one of the sections of the show was talking about future tripping, and future tripping being this kind of thing that the mind will do where it searches for the potential disaster that could happen in the future. So let me take action now to make sure that that doesn't happen. And let me steal my joy in this present moment because of a future potential wrong. I always think this must be a super challenging thing for parents. When you're looking at your little sweet child and you are so feeling responsible for protecting them, and probably when you look in their sweet little face, you're already thinking about all the possible ways the world could hurt them, and all you want to do is say, just stay in the house and lock the door until you're, you know, 25, right? But part of being a great parent, and we've talked about Dr. Shefali's work a lot, and she says, your kids are here to teach you. You're not here to teach them anything. So part of a really great parenting style to adapt is, my mind thinks I know how to parent this kid, but it takes away my ability to enjoy them as a human being, what they came to offer this world and what they came to offer me and themselves, when I'm so busy trying to keep them safe or putting my agenda on top of their life.
Oh, I think that all the time with my relationship. I think I have a concept of what my relationship, my romantic relationship, is supposed to look like.
Right.
And when I'm attached to that idea of what my romantic relationship is supposed to look like, what I miss is it came here to me to evolve me.
Right.
Right? So if I can let go of what I think it's supposed to look like and enter the present moment, all there is love.
Right.
And in that present moment where all there is love, it's doing work on me to cause me to become a better version of myself here in this form, right?
Right.
But it takes me not attaching to that sense of outcome.
Right.
And that is a real tough thing, whether it is in a romantic relationship or a career or a bank account or anything that we would put in form, is we so want to feel safe that we will rob ourselves of the bliss and the love and the joy that is here in the present moment.
It almost feels for me like attachment to outcome is the antithesis of pleasure, which is why pleasure is the most important tool to practice.
Yes.
Because the second you start to practice pleasure, what you will come up against is all the resistance you have to pleasure. So that's the reason you adopt the practice, because, again, the form is revealing to you what you are not so that you can step into and create shifts and changes into becoming what you actually are. Now, bliss is our birthright and our natural state. Our soul doesn't wander around the ether of the universe worried about what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
It just doesn't. Only our minds do that. Only our bodies do that. So when you take a stand to practice pleasure, what you will find is the opposite of pleasure many times. And that's when many of us bail on the practice of pleasure. Because once you start taking a stand for pleasure, you'll be faced with all of the conditioning that's kept you out of it for so long.
Right. Well, I love the teaching of Christ, which is the kingdom of heaven, heaven, ever expansive good, is always here now, right? So at this moment, whatever this moment is, there is huge, ever expanding good. So if I'm not in the moment of ever expanding good, it means I have left heaven, heaven has not left me, right? So where have I gone into a mind form, a thought of should or I have to do or an obligation that is keeping me out of being present to something that my soul is saying to me now? And I think the practice of pleasure and fun and joy is really a practice of being in communication with your spirit. We were not taught how to be in communication with our spirit, and our spirit is the most fun playmate we'll ever have.
Right.
Our spirit is the best lover we'll ever have. Our spirit is ultimate abundance.
Mm.
Our spirit is never-ending creativity. It's all here right now, and it's like waiting for us at any moment to dive in. And so, in a way, when I have left the kingdom of heaven, and I can see when I've left it, means like, oh, I left the good that is here now.
Right.
And so a practice that I can do when I realize I'm not in this moment is I just go, what's the good thing that's here now?
Right.
Okay, the good thing that's here now, right now, if I was going to say it, your beautiful eyes. Right? Those gorgeous earrings I've been looking at all night on you, right? Your smile, sitting here in your gorgeous apartment, getting to talk, getting to be with someone I love. Like, in this moment, there's always a gazillion great things, and that when I focus on those and then say, where's that leading me? If I can lean into that, it takes me somewhere brand new.
Right. So the idea is to move from the inside out and let bliss, joy, pleasure be the guide. It reminds me of kids. You always see this with parents. They buy all the fancy toys for their kids, and the fancy toys sit in the box, and the kids are like playing with the spoons and the pots, right? Because for a child, everything is a toy. Everything is a playmate. Everything is a curiosity. Everything is an adventure. You could sit in a cupboard and it feels like a magical kingdom, right? As adults, we don't look inside a cupboard and see the potential of a magical kingdom. We don't bang on a pot and see a musical instrument. But that's where we came from. That's who we really are when we're leading from the inside out. As adults, we have conditioned ourselves or been conditioned to see things logically, mentally, analytically, or achievement-based. So if there's no achievement of banging on a pot, if there's no achievement in seeing a magical castle inside a cupboard, our brains will actually stop seeing that possibility. And then our lives get smaller and darker and weaker because we can now only see what we are labeling as good, but is really just limited.
Oh, okay. When you start talking about achievement and being in that state of banging on the pot and pan, you know how you and I play that game when we're traveling, which is follow the cuteness?
Oh, I
just
love it.
I mean, and that to me, that is the practice of pleasure.
That's like, the practice.
Just follow that thing that like looks adorable and it always leads you to somewhere magical.
Always. And friends, let us just explain what follow the cuteness is. So Kristen and I have a game where we decide that whatever delights our eyeballs is where life wants us to be.
Mm-hmm.
So follow the cuteness for us is we never look up a restaurant. We never make a reservation. We wander around. And maybe we'll say, well, this street looks cute. And then instead of going for dinner, we end up in a bookshop. And then after the bookshop, the person in the bookshop says, oh, go down this street. And then we go down this street. And then we find jewelry to buy. And like, and then maybe we end up getting to dinner at some point. But the idea is wherever looks cute, wherever our eyeballs get delighted, that's where we try to follow. And it always leads us on the most magnificent adventures that no travel book could have led us to, or no level of planning in our minds could have ever revealed to us.
I had this meditation teacher who used to talk about follow the charm.
Mm.
So it's almost like trust the universe has an idea, has a little game it's playing with you, has a little mystery it wants you to follow.
A little curiosity, a little adventure.
It wants you to go bang on the drum. Now, here's my buddy Joseph Campbell saying, wandering time is positive. Don't think of new things. Don't think of achievement. Don't think of anything of the kind. Just think, where do I feel good? What has given me joy? I mean it. This is simply basic. Get those pressure ideas out of your system And then you can find, like a ball on a roulette wheel, where you're going to land. The roulette ball doesn't say, well, people will think better of me over there than over there.
Right.
Take what comes and be where you like. What counts is being where you feel you're in your place. What people think is their problem.
Mm-hmm.
What will they think of me must be put aside for bliss.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I love that feeling of value, wandering, and curiosity over the mental construct of what you think achievement or your life is supposed to look like. Even as you were saying that, it made me think of our reader who prompted this whole thing, saying, for those of us who've lived a life doing the right thing and fulfilling others' expectations, mm-hmm. it's so exciting to think about following pleasure, which is just what Joseph Campbell is saying.
Yes.
Following a path of wandering, of curiosity, of not knowing, of not letting your brain tell you what's right or wrong or a worthy endeavor or a not worthy endeavor. It's almost like get into the practice of doing things that aren't worthy endeavors. Mm-hmm. Get into the practice of painting a bad painting. Get into the practice of playing with your feet in the mud or banging on the drum or finding a magical castle where someone else sees a cupboard. And just see what that wandering curiosity opens up inside of you. And from that place, what is possible to achieve?
Can you imagine if we were all raised with the idea of you don't need to achieve anything?
Oh.
You don't need to accomplish anything. Your job is to wander and follow what you get curious about or what excites you.
Oh.
So in that way, that's following real spirit. That's letting spirit be your guide.
Right.
That's what let Einstein discover the mysteries of the universe, right?
Absolutely.
So imagine, what would your whole life look like if you woke up in the morning and say, I don't need to accomplish anything today. I don't need to get anything done. My job today is to wander and investigate what turns me on.
Well, and let me tell you, when Kristen looks in my eyes and says that to me, what I feel is anxiety,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think this is a normal conditioned response. Wait, you tell me in a world where since I was 6 years old, I've been trying to get an A,
mm-hmm.
you tell me that I'm going to wake up and not care about achieving and not care about making money and not care about advancing myself or moving the ball forward or getting somewhere. But the thing that's interesting is pleasure and flow state is the fastest, most effective way to get where you're really meant to get. And achievement is the place to get where other people have told you to get. And you're climbing the wrong tree, and you'll end up at the top of the tree realizing it wasn't the right one for you anyway.
That's right. Raise your hand right now, wherever you are, if you're holding on to something that doesn't bring you joy.
Oh.
And you keep doing it over and over again, thinking, well, I'm doing this again and again because it's going to get me to joy one day. Yeah. That's trying to get somewhere else. And it's not letting... You know what that is? You're on someone else's path.
Mm-hmm.
You're not in your own path. And so you can follow that well-worn path that someone else has done, but it's not going to lead you to ultimately where you want to go. So do that all day long. Right. Do that thing that makes you feel soulless and burnt out and unhappy. And when you follow that path all the way, you're going to realize this is not where I'm supposed to be.
Right. Joy cannot be at an end of a journey that joy did not begin.
That's right.
It's like painting a painting with red paint and expecting to have a blue painting at the end.
What a good metaphor.
Thank you. It just came to me as you were speaking.
Well, I like it so much. Here's a little more Joseph Campbell for you. This is great. If your life is in play, or if you're engaged in play and having no fun, well, quit. So you just got permission from Joseph Campbell. He just told you, if it's not fun, quit.
Quit.
The spirit of the sacred space is Shiva dancing. All responsibilities are cast off. There are various ways of doing this casting off, and it doesn't matter how it happens. The rest is play. He also says, and this is great, work begins when you don't like what you're doing.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
Work begins when you don't like what you're doing. Actually, I think that's a really important point. So many of us, as children, are delighted by things. And we do them as hobbies and they feel so fun. And the second they become our job or our profession, it loses the joy. It loses the fun. I can't tell you how many actors I work with who are going into an audition, calling me frantically, can you coach me for this audition? And the whole time we're working on the script, the question I would ask is, does this person even like acting? Mm. This just feels like they're about to go and write a mathematics test.
Or go to the dentist.
Right. It's like, you have a chance to act today. Isn't that your most favorite thing? Isn't this what you've been like dreaming of being able to do all your life? And there's somewhere along the way that when we turn it into vocation, when we turn it into profession, we have an idea that in order to be professional or serious, we have to take it seriously and it has to start looking like work. But the way that it actually comes through us is through play. And the reason we wanted to do it in the first place is because we wanted to break away from the conditioning of hard work so we could play. So many of us chose things that we thought would be more fun than other things and then turned it into work and then complain about it.
Play is power. And if we really want to be in power in our life, we have to put play into the number one position, and that takes huge bravery, because you know what happens when play is in number one position? Everyone else in our life who's doing hard work and achievement and obligation starts to want to make you wrong.
That's right. It's well, one of the things that our reader wrote is it's tapping into what really turns us on and excites us and what we're drawn to, even if it doesn't make sense or satisfy others. And I would say living a life that excites you and you're drawn to and turns you on will not make sense and not satisfy others.
Uh-huh.
It definitely will not. Ooh. And something happens, and we talked about this a little bit in our last podcast, so if you want to hear this in a deeper way, check back at our last podcast. We talk about when you've been rewarded for being who you are not, it becomes very difficult to be who you really are. Many of us, if we've been living lives as people pleasers or living lives of doing the conditioned way of being, if we start to take a stand for, well, I'm going to go on this vacation, I'm going to fly first class, I'm going to take this painting class, I'm going to work less so I can do this fun thing, it will often be met with judgment. But people are not judging you. They're judging the place in themselves that won't give themselves that same permission.
Right. And this thing that happens when you put play and pleasure in the power seat, it starts to activate your life. It starts to infuse your life with energy, and people start to respond to you in a different way.
Mm.
So the things that really do matter start to get attracted to you. You start to find your right place in the world.
Mm.
You start to realize, oh, what turns me on actually turns on other people. Oh, what I have and who I am is valuable, and this is the part of me that comes effortlessly.
Right.
Oh, who I am without trying is of value to the world. Holy fuck! My whole life, I've been trying to be what other people want, but when I'm actually just myself in my childlike form, that's what everybody wants.
Yeah. I can tell you how personally, it's so interesting when we know we're going to do a podcast on a specific topic. I just start to notice how it appears in my life.
Yeah.
So this week I had this really funny thing about pleasure. Is I was noticing there was all of this pleasure in my week and this real kind of clear, open schedule where all of a sudden I didn't have as much work to do as normal, and it was causing me all of this stress, like almost to the point of like every time I checked my email, I wanted there to be more emails, like I wanted there to be more to do so I could feel purposeful and I could feel like I was in the game and I wasn't gonna get left behind if other people were there working. It was almost like I had this tremendous guilt that I wasn't doing enough, and I was just doing my best to notice it, knowing we were gonna do this podcast, and I thought, well, whatever happens, it's gonna be a great story to tell. So what happened is I ended up having this one day, Saturday morning, and it was a rainy morning in New York. Now, normally, I mean, Saturday could be any day of the week. It's like I get up, I do my morning practice, I do my meditation, I answer my emails, I do my workout, I work on my book, whatever. It's just like, it doesn't matter if it's a Saturday, a Monday, or whatever. I get up and I do my work and I do my things and I make sure I'm taking care of my body and I'm cleaning my house and I'm doing all the things. So this Saturday morning, I'm with my partner and it's like, let's just have snuggles in bed. And the anxiety in my body of, well, how long is snuggles going to last? Well, is it going to be like 5 minutes or 20 minutes? Because I should really think about it because I really have to plan my day. And noticing in myself, there is an opportunity in this present moment to just be relaxed. And I'm uncomfortable because I feel more comfortable in tension and achieving. Mm. Okay, let me notice this. Stay in the snuggles. Well, it was magical. I fell back asleep. All of a sudden, it's 8:44. Now, I can't tell you the last time I slept until 8:44. I am a girl who wakes up at like 5:45 and starts getting things done, right? All of a sudden, it's 8:44, and I'm looking on my app on my phone of like, what workout am I going to do? And I've already missed so much time, and I have to get caught up on my emails. Now, I check my email. It's like a whole bunch of junk mail. There's nothing to address. Okay, I can't do that. Okay, well, I can do a workout. Okay, well, I missed the workout I would have wanted to do. Now, meanwhile, my partner is making the most beautiful breakfast that I've ever seen in my life. And the whole time, I'm like wandering around the house trying to find something to do. So finally, he says, sit down. Here's a coffee. So I sit down. He hands me a beautiful coffee. He comes out with this beautiful breakfast. And he turns on a movie, like a kid's movie, like a Disney movie. And I'm like, well, if I'm going to watch a movie, I have to at least watch like an artistic movie that's going to inspire me, that's going to make me a better actress, that's going to like move me forward somehow artistically. Now, meanwhile, we're watching this movie and we're just like cuddled up. We're having croissant. We're eating the most delicious food and it's rainy. And I'm finally settling into this moment. And it took me probably 2 hours to really say, just exhale and just be present and see this beautiful human and see this beautiful moment and this adorable movie and the rain falling outside and the warm blanket on your body, and there's nothing to do. And even if there is something to do, why is it more important than this? What in my conditioning is telling me that there's any email more important than this, that there's any workout that's more important than this, that there's any thing to address in the outer world that's more important than this? And it just became so obvious to me that even when Kristen came over that night, I was like, Kristen, I'm having so much anxiety because I had so much pleasure today and I don't know how to handle it. I don't know how to handle that I had this whole day where I just relaxed and read a book and yes. Sat on my couch. It was like it was overwhelming to my system. And yet the fascinating thing is I've had this pattern where I work really hard and then I go on vacation and my vacation every day looks like that. Mm-hmm. But I felt like I earned it. So I was totally open to eating the pastries and having wine and relaxing because I felt like I worked hard and I earned it. All of a sudden, pleasure just showing up as a normal day-to-day experience where this is just what an average Saturday could look like and not a once-in-a-lifetime special moment, it caused an anxiety in me that was so intense that I couldn't have even understood was there as someone who teaches other people how to live in their pleasure, that it made me say, thank you. Thank you for the contrast. Thank you for how uncomfortable pleasure feels to me, because this is the gateway to actually taking a stand for it. The only way I'm ever going to learn how to experience pleasure in a real way is by also experiencing how uncomfortable it makes me. Also experiencing how other people might judge me for it. How I may feel these feelings inside of I'm not achieving enough, I'm not doing enough. And that is what my soul wants me to learn to transcend. And so pleasure becomes my greatest teacher. And so I must stand for pleasure, not just so I can feel good, but so I can transform my life from the inside out and learn how to live a life of least suffering?
Yeah, that's a really good question. What was it that caused anxiety in all of us to begin with that we couldn't just come here and live for joy? Right? What are we afraid of?
Right. Is it the stillness? Is it the emptiness? Have we been so conditioned to strive that we don't know or are not comfortable that we already were born deserving? Have we been so conditioned to achieve that we aren't comfortable just receiving?
Mm-hmm.
And I think for all of us, the answers will be universal and also deeply personal.
Yeah.
But the reason you want to stand for pleasure is not just so you have all the orgasms or all the fun or all the joy.
But listen.
But we want all those things.
I'm not mad at orgasms.
But the thing is, it's a deeper investigation.
Yeah. It's an investigation of your soul. It's a really great place to enter the conversation. You were made by love for love. Love is the center of it all.
Mm.
So everything that is not love causes us to say, oh, where did that come from? And what does that want me to heal inside?
Right. So if you have been the person, like our listener, who has lived a life of doing the right thing, lived a life of fulfilling others' expectations, or lived a life of saying, work first, pleasure second, then this is an inquiry, and this is an opportunity to get to know your Purusha, your soul level, by beginning to tap, to touch your bliss body. Maybe for you, it just comes in one Saturday morning. Maybe you just dip a toe in.
You know what would be a fun exercise? Take one day a week and go, this day is only for play and pleasure.
Right.
And then start to stretch that out. Right?
Right.
Or take 1 hour every day. And
right.
just see how you can start to stretch out play and pleasure, because I truly believe our whole lives are supposed to look like that.
Yeah. You know, there's something interesting that Rob Bell talks about in his book, Be Here Now. He talks about...
Be Here Now?
Be Here Now. Rob How Bell. To Be Here.
How to Be Here.
How to Be Here. Oh, so glad there's two of us. How to Be Here. Rob Bell talks about, and I'm going to kind of butcher this story. I'll give you the gist, and please go read his book so you can get the full understanding of the story. But he talks about these slaves in Egypt that were born into slavery and working. And then finally they were freed and they couldn't stop working. And it was like, but you're free. You don't have to work anymore. And they couldn't not work because they didn't know how. It was just so ingrained in them that even when they had their freedom, they were enslaved by their own conditioning and their own thoughts of what life was supposed to be. And I feel like the conversation of pleasure is so much more important than feeling good.
Yeah.
The conversation of pleasure is really about finding where perhaps at one point someone else's ideas or conditioning has enslaved you, but perhaps in this moment the only person continuing to enslave you is your own mind, your own being. But there is a source of joy and pleasure and play inside of you that has a different wisdom, a different kind of information for you. And perhaps you are still seeing yourself as a slave, and you are the only one who can give yourself freedom. And if you give yourself the freedom and permission, even just one step at a time, to say, what lights me up? What turns me on? What's good in this moment? What feels good right now? In a world conditioned to always say what's wrong with this moment so I can complain about it or try to fix it, what happens if you take a stand to say, oh yeah, yeah, I see that thing that I could complain about, but I also see this good over here. I also see the pots I could play with. I also see the cupboard I could crawl in, or whatever that looks like for you. I see the walk I could go on. I see the kiss I could enjoy. I see the sun rising. There is an opportunity to see something new, and that is the key to your liberation.
Yeah, we've been following the master of achievement and safety and control and obligation. The master that wants to be awakened from the inside of us is the one that is our truest calling, our true spirit. And that is the one that came born to play. Mm-hmm. The more time we spend in connection, in deep communication with that part of us, it's going to take us somewhere we've never been before. And all of that is curiosity. All of that is just banging on the pots and pans.
Yeah.
That's a new forefront.
Yeah, and that's where the world needs to go.
Yeah.
You know, in a world where people feel so deeply conditioned to value certain people or races over others, in a world where we feel there's so much separation, so much hatred, so much wrong, what happens when we take a stand as activating forces in the world to say, I'm standing for something different? And I get that people aren't going to like it because it's never been done before, but I've never been here before, and it's why I'm here. So what happens when I give myself that opportunity to know myself as I really am? I think at some point the people-pleasing falls away because the joy of being ourselves feels so much better.
And that's what happens when you follow bliss and joy and pleasure, is you start to get to know who you are. You get the gift of yourself.
Right.
That's where freedom occurs. We don't even know who we are until we give ourselves permission to follow our joy and bliss and pleasure with abandon. And I think the fear is, if I do that, I'm going to be destitute. I'm going to be alone. We have all these fears of what might happen if we do, but we're actually living in an unhappy place when we don't.
Mm.
And so, if we can give ourselves permission and encourage each other to. As Joseph Campbell says, when we follow our bliss, doors will open where there were not doors open before.
Mm. Well, I hope that answers your question, listener. It was certainly an amazing exploration for me this week, and I know for you as well, to notice where we get into striving and achieving over the stand for pleasure and bliss and joy. And so I hope that whatever you all take from this conversation, know that your joy is unique, your bliss is unique, your expression of your pleasure is unique, and it gets to look and feel juicy and exciting and joyous for you. But also, if it makes you uncomfortable, you're probably on the right track.
Uncomfortable joy.
So have fun experimenting with your joy, your pleasure, your play this week. And again, listeners, if you have podcast ideas for us, throw them our way. Come to the Create Community Facebook page. Come to our Create page, www.thecreateseries.com. We have a video series there. We have a free meditation there for you when you join our mailing list. We have some meditations there. We have information about upcoming classes. And we would just love to hang out with you and hear about what drums you're banging on.
Yeah. Keep on banging.
Thank you so much for listening. We love to feel like we have friends all over the world in you who are committed to doing their dream on the planet.
And if you liked this podcast and you want to find out more about what we're doing or who we are, our pop-up classes, our online classes, you can check all of that out at thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to be part of our Facebook community, you can go to the Create Community page. That's C.R.E.A.T.E.Community.
And if you loved this podcast, why not share it with a friend?